realistic speaking, something one would need to live a life without meaning in many ways is actually quite tiring. To live a life that does not count is actually quite depressing. I think many of us would feel that way. And when you think about it, it's actually one of the causes of many depressions, when people feel a sense of worthlessness, a sense of pointlessness, that my life actually doesn't count for much. So if you were in the video and you were asked that question, what is the purpose of your life? How would you answer that question? Is it to get married? Is it to actually inspire people? Is it actually to mentor others? Is it to actually live to 110? Or is it, as the 14-year-old kid said, I'm only 14 years old. I don't know what the purpose of life is yet. Any 14-year-olds? Some of them? Chris, right. And so we actually want, it's important to have a purpose in our lives because we want our lives to mean something. We want our lives to count and we actually want to make a difference, don't we? However, sometimes, right, sometimes for many people, it's not only that there's no purpose, that life actually can be filled with pain, lots of pain. Like the woman who had built her whole life around her boyfriend, and one day, to her horror, her boyfriend just died out of the blue. And as she said, her whole life just fell apart, her hopes and dreams. So life actually took a very different course for her. It's not that there was no point to it. It was a life filled with a lot of pain. And so the fact of the matter is that when we think about our lives and we think about the lives of other people, we have this sort of illusion or this idea that life should be pristine, perfect. But the reality is that life is often very different indeed. And so over the next few weeks, we're actually going to go on a journey, right? A journey which in many ways, to see what life is really like, to, you could say, get a reality check, particularly when life goes wrong. And we're actually going to follow one man's journey through life as he wanders through what you could call the maze of life. And what he discovers is both real, relevant, but it's also very confronting. And that person that we want to follow is King Solomon. Who was King Solomon? If you know your Bibles, we would know who he is. If we don't know it, we know that King Solomon was the wealthiest man in the ancient world at the time. He was what you could call amongst the super rich. He had everything. He had power. He had fame. He had wealth. He was, as I said, amongst the super rich. He was the Bill Gates, the Mark Zuckerberg of the ancient world. It was described in one account that he had built the centerpiece of the city, the temple, and inside the walls, the ceiling, the floors was just literally lined with gold, gold plated, the whole lot. All the refineries, all the sorts of cups and shields and everything was made of pure gold. And it was said that silver counted for nothing in the ancient world because there was so much gold he was so wealthy that nothing else really mattered. And more than this, right? More than this. We read that his wisdom matched his wealth. His wisdom matched his wealth. And so what did we read there? That God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and of Egypt. It's a stunning thought, isn't it? Here was a man who was not only wealthy, super rich, but he had a wisdom that matched his wealth. And so what do we read? All people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who heard of his wisdom, he was the person that everyone in the ancient world wanted to have an audience with. So you think to this guy, you think about this guy, he had everything. He was living life to the max. But we discover that as life moved on, he began to lose his way. Wine, you could say, and women got the better of him. And in losing the way, what did we discover? His life moved from clarity to confusion, from orderliness to a life of chaos. He was a man at the top of the ladder of society. As I said, he literally had everything, more than you could ever imagine. Yet his life was getting untangled. He was being confronted with reality, and it wasn't anything he had imagined it to be. So here was a man who was in search of what life was really all about. And so he goes in search for answers, and he writes down what he has observed and what he's discovered in a very interesting book, which we call the Book of Ecclesiastes. So what is Ecclesiastes? Well, Ecclesiastes is literally a book of observations and reflections. It is really what he sees with the naked eye, and his reflections on it. And he writes down what he observed and what he's reflecting on it in the book of Ecclesiastes. So this next few weeks, we're going to go on a journey with Solomon and to see what he sees and to listen to his reflections. So let's listen to his observations and let's listen to his reflections. Ecclesiastes chapter 1.
Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil of the toilers of the sun? The generation goes, the generation comes, the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down, hastens and the glacier rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. And on its surface the wind returns, all seem to run to the sea. The glacier has been slow, there they go again. All things are full of wheels. A man cannot find it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has always been the ages before. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. I, the preacher, have been king of Israel and Jerusalem. I delight my heart to see and to search out by wisdom all that is done there. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. That in everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after me. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to no wisdom and no madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much taxation, and he who increases knowledge increases.
It's true, isn't it? When you look at the world, what do you see? When you look at the world, when you stop, take your head out of the sand and look at the world, what do you see? What do you see? What did Solomon see when he went on this journey? He saw the world like a relentless clock that goes round and round and round, without failure. That's what he saw. Minute by minute, the world revolved. Days come and days go. Seasons come and go. Things go up and things go down. They go here and they go there. And what he saw, that nothing really changes. Now, for us, when we look at that, there is a reassuring stability and predictability about the world, isn't it? We go to sleep, and we can be sure that we're going to wake up tomorrow for another day. We wake up and we go to work, and we can be sure that we'll get home to have our meals. And then we go to sleep, and we can be sure that we will wake up another day. There are no surprises in the world, essentially. And we love it. But the problem is that what we love in nature, we hate in our lives. We hate it. Imagine sitting and just watching the clock all day. We hate this, don't we? If I was a player for 30 minutes, I think you'd be asking for blood. But this is what our lives are like, isn't it? It's predictable, but mundane. It's predictable, but very wearisome. That means we sleep, we eat, we work, we eat, we sleep. And we do that again and again and again for the next 10, 20, 50 years. We study, we work, we retire, we play, we rest, we play, we rest. There is nothing new under the sun. As it says there, what has been will be again is what Solomon observed with his eyes. What has been done will be done again. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is that what you see? Because that is what Solomon sees. And when you think about it, whenever you think it's new, it's not really new. Worse still, we're told that what Solomon has discovered is that what has been discovered will soon be forgotten. So let me ask you this question, right? So what's new? If I was to ask you this after this at brunch, so what's new? Jeremy, what's new? What's new? Jamie, what's new? Or, what have you been up to? Or, what are you going to do the rest of the year? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and answer that question? So, what are you going to do the rest of the year? What's new for you? You turn to the person next to you, you've got 10 seconds. What's new for you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's enough. All right, I cheat, right? What is the common response? When I ever ask someone, what's new? What have you been up to? What are you going to do the rest of the year? You know what the common response is? Same old, same old. People struggle to think of something new in their life. I went to work. I had dinner. I'll go to the movies. Oh, yeah, we've already gone to the movies. And when you think about it, it's the same old, same old. And you know what this is? This is actually wearisome. It's actually quite wearisome. Because I would say all things are wearisome more than one can say. This sort of predictable mundaneness can actually be a killer. Life goes round and round and round with a predictable mundaneness that describes that Solomon, what he observed, is actually quite wearisome. But equally disturbing, do we actually make a real difference in life? Do we make a real difference? And that was what Solomon was, again, he's asking that question. Do we make a real difference? What does one gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Is what he's observing. What does one really gain? What does one really gain? What difference have we really made in the lives of other people? And indeed, of the world. What difference have we really made? Think about it. What has he observed as he went on this journey of life to get a reality check? What has he observed? This is what he observed. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. So what's he saying? People die and people are born. People die and born, people die and born for thousands upon thousands of years. And what difference have we made to the world? You know, the truth of the matter is, the universe cares very little about us. We are just a speck of dust, cosmic dust in the whole universe. Generations come and go, come and go, come and go. But the world has remained forever, unchanging. But worse still, people come and go and come and go. You know what? Every one of them has been forgotten. Each one of you will be quickly forgotten. Do you realize that? This is what he observed. There is no remembrance of men of old. And even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. That's a scary thought, isn't it? You have probably forgotten who your great-grand-aunt was. Grand-uncle, granddad, great-granddad, granddad. You might vaguely remember. But for you kids, for you, your children will not know who your grandparents were. They were forgotten. And everything you have worked hard for will be long forgotten, and you will be forgotten. You see, we like to think that we make a difference in the world. We don't like to be part of the machinery. We actually want to create the machinery. But we make very little difference. And tragically soon, and tragically, as Solomon has observed, and he writes in his book of Ecclesiastes, his book and journal, we will very quickly be forgotten. And for you kids who are aiming for the HSC, oh sure, you'll get a moment of fame in the Sydney Morning Herald, but very quickly it'll be forgotten. You'll get your degrees, and after that, you'll be forgotten. You'll get your jobs, and you'll make lots, and you'll get to the top of your ladder, and you'll be forgotten. Very quickly forgotten. And you don't believe that? Well, Solomon has went on his journey of life, and that's what he's observed. Generations have come, and generations have gone. And what does he say? There is no remembrance. There's no remembrance of men of old. Even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Do you realize that? And when we try to find life, but here's the thing, when we try to find an answer, what has Solomon discovered? For in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge is increases sorrow. What's he saying there? When you go in search to make sense of what you see about life, you find more questions than answers. Is that true? When you go and search for the answer to life, you find more sorrow than joy. Which is probably why we busy ourselves with not having to think, because we don't want to find more questions and we don't want to find more grief. Which is why we need to go on this journey with Solomon to get a reality check. Because the truth of the matter is that our lives are lived in illusions. We are fooling ourselves. So Solomon therefore goes on an answer. He's observed, he's seen the predictable mundaneness of a life that is actually him quite wearisome. He likes to think that he makes a difference and he likes to think that we all make a difference, but the reality is that we make no difference whatsoever to the world. So what's the answer? Well, listen to Solomon as he continues on his journey. Listen to what he says, say, in chapter 2.
Gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity.
So here's the question. If you had all the money in the world, like Solomon did, what would you do with it? What would you do with it? If you had all the money in the world, what would you do with it? Would you be like Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook? He spends $10 million per year just to keep his family safe. $10 million. Or would you be like Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, founder of Microsoft? He spent $124 million building his house. Is that how would you spend your money? Or maybe the Sultan of Brunei, net worth $20 billion. How does he spend his money? It's reported as 2,500 exotic cars. It is also reported that he would fly in from overseas his barber every month at a cost of $25,000 per appointment. Is that how you would spend your money? If you had all the money in the world, how would you spend your money? What did Solomon do as the richest man of the world at that time? And you know what he did? He went in search for an answer. He went in search for an answer. And what did he discover? He searched it in the first one, living life to the max. Live life to the max. Let's enjoy life, he said. Wine, women, fast cars. Look at what he says. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good in life. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness, and what does pleasure accomplish? Look at what else. Verse 10, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil. He withheld nothing. He withheld nothing. He enjoyed life to the max. Absolutely. He had money, I'll get that. I could spend all my money on that. Let me see what life is like and let me live it to the full. And what did he discover? What did he observe when he went on that venture? When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. In other words, what did he discover? An empty room. That's what he discovered. At the end of all that funning and enjoying life to the max, what was at the end of the road? Nothing more than an empty room. Is it any wonder why these super rich are in this relentless quest to enjoy more and more and more? Because they are never, ever satisfied. Most of us, indeed, I would dare say all of us, are trying to get rich, make more money, buy the latest mod cons. But take it from Solomon, who had it more than you can ever imagine, who enjoyed life to the max more than you can ever dream of. And what does he say? I've been there. I've done that. And let me tell you, there is nothing at the end of the road. Nothing. It is a dead end. It's an empty room. Well, that was a failure. That was a journey to lead to dead end. So what else did he try to do? Well, let's try this other trick. Let's do the right thing. Live a good life. And so we read these words. This is what Solomon said. I saw that wisdom is better than folly. just as light is better than darkness. In other words, let's do the right thing. Let's live the good life, not just enjoying ourselves, but trying to do the right thing by ourselves and by other people. And what did he discover? What did he observe? And what did he realize? But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain from being wise? What did he gain from trying to be wise? By trying to live the good life? Absolutely nothing. It made no difference. Because what did he observe about life? He observed that the same fate overtakes both the good and the bad, the wise and the foolish. At the end of the road, what did he discover? It was literally a dead end. It was all pointless. And everything we do and the good we do itself will be either overturned or forgotten. Well, that was a dead end. Let's try another route then. As Solomon continues on his journey to come to grips and to answer the question, what is life? What is the purpose of life? Let's try to be successful. There's a typical Asian answer. Try to be successful. Let's aim to be famous. Let's aim to make a name for ourselves. Let's aim to work hard. And what did Solomon discover? Well, listen to what Solomon discovered. The man who was the most successful entrepreneur out in the whole world, more than we can ever imagine. I hate it. All the things I toil for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. What did he deserve? No matter what he did, he will have to leave it to someone else. That's true, isn't it? He will have to leave it to someone else, and he doesn't even know what that other person will be like. You might spend your whole life building up an empire, and the next person is a larrikin who will just destroy it in one stupid decision overnight. You spend all your labors to build it up, but the other person enjoys it. And here's the kicker. The whole of our life is spent in anxiety. Constantly, we have this idea of constantly working our guts out. Our life is filled with stress and anxiety. This is what Solomon observed again. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labour under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. That's what he's observed. Is that what you have observed? Is that what you observe? One person once said, when you're at uni, you have time and energy, but no money. When you're at work, you have money, but no time and no energy. I was speaking to a man who was busting his guts to build a good life that he can enjoy. And then I get news that he had died of a heart attack. Never able to enjoy the good life that he has sweated over to build. And what was his conclusion? Solomon's. This too is meaningless. This too is meaningless. You go down the route of enjoying life to the full, and the end is an empty room. You go down that route of actually trying to live a good life, to do right by yourself and other people. And what's at the end? A dead end. And then you go down that life of trying to be successful. Then you're going to hand it over to someone who might just destroy everything you work for. And even then, you don't know. He enjoys the fruit of your labor. But your whole life is a life of complete stress and anxiety. It's depressing when you think about it, isn't it? But that's reality. That is reality. This is the real world that Solomon, the super rich of the ancient world, has observed. That's what he says. If this is all there is, if this is all we see before our own eyes, then it's a depressing state of affair. But the Christian message is simply this. Or the question is, is there more to life than meets the eye? Is there more to life than meets the eye? In fact, remember these words said by Jesus of Nazareth in John chapter 10. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. We are only on the beginning of a very long journey through with Solomon, journeying through the maze which we call life. And the aim of our journey is to take our eyes from just looking at the ground and to look at the world and to get a reality check, particularly when life goes wrong. And what Solomon has first discovered is that life is just like a relentless clock. And it goes nowhere, and life is like that. That the different routes that we commonly take, which Solomon observed, ultimately goes nowhere. And the Christian message is that Jesus, there he has come, that you might have life and have it to the full. So stay tuned to the journey of life that we are on. Let me close. Father in heaven, help us to be honest with ourselves and to look at the life as it really is. A life which in many ways is on the one hand predictable, yet disturbingly pointless and mundane. A life where people go through different routes but only find dead empty rooms, dead ends, and hand everything to someone who may destroy everything we've done. Is there more to life than meets the eye? But we give you thanks that Jesus come, that we might have life and have it to the full. Amen.